भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जगत गुरु शील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य शिवदास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथ श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। और प्रेमानंद हरि हरि। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द ब्यूटीफुल लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय विकले श्रीमते श्रीरूपाय स्वामी की नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 वर्स 18। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय क्वीन कुंती एंड टुडेज वर्स एक्चुअली इज द फर्स्ट वर्स व्हेन कुंती देवी प्रेयर्स are starting. So Kunti Vacha. Oh sorry, I didn't say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So 1:8:18. Let's do word for word first. Kunti Vacha.
Kunti Vacha.
Shrimati Kunti said.
Shrimati Kunti said.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Let me bow down.
Let me bow down.
Purusham.
Purusham.
The Supreme Person.
The Supreme Person.
Tva.
You.
Adhyam.
Adhyam.
The Original.
Yes.
Ishwaram.
Ishwaram.
The Controller.
The
Prakriti. Of the material cosmos.
Param,
param,
beyond.
Alakshyam, the invisible. Sarva, all. Bhutanam, of living beings. Antaha, within. Bahi, without. Avasthitam, existing. Kunti uvacha, Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Ishwaram Prakrite Param.
Ishwaram Prakrite Param.
Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Antar Bahiravastitam.
Antar Bahiravastitam.
Kunti Uvacha.
Kunti Uvacha.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Ishwaram Prakriti Param.
Ishwaram Prakriti Param.
Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Antar Bahiravastitam.
Antar Bahiravastitam.
Icha.
Kunti Vacha.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Ishwaram Prakriti Param. Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam. Antar Bahiravastitam.
Kunti Uvacha.
Kunti Uvacha.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam. Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Antar Bahiravastitam.
Antar Bahiravastitam.
Kunti Uvacha.
Kunti Uvacha.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Ishwaram Prakriti Param.
Ishwaram Prakriti Param.
Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam. Antar Bahiravastitam. Kunti Uvacha.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam.
Ishwaram Prakriti Param.
Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam.
Antar Bahiravastitam. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Let's read it together. Srimati Kunti said, O
O
Krishna,
O Krishna,
I offer my obeisances unto you.
I offer my obeisances unto you.
Because you are the original personality.
Because you are the original personality.
And are unaffected.
And are unaffected.
By the qualities of the material world.
By the qualities of the material world.
You are existing.
You are existing.
Both within and without everything.
Both within and without everything.
Yet you are invisible to all.
Yet you are.
Purport. Srimati Kunti Devi was quite aware that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, although he was playing the part of her nephew. Such an enlightened lady could not commit a mistake by offering obeisances unto her nephew. Therefore, she addressed him as the original Purusha beyond the material cosmos. Although all living entities are also transcendental, they are neither original nor infallible. The living entities are apt to fall down under the clutches of material nature, but the Lord is never like that. In the Vedas, therefore, he is described as the chief among living entities. Nitya, Nityanam, Chetanas, Chetananam. Then again, he is addressed as Ishvara, or the controller. The living entities or the demigods like Chandra and Surya are also to some extent Ishvara, but none of them is the supreme Ishvara or the ultimate controller. He is the Parameshvara or the super soul. He is both within and without. Although he was present before Srimati Kunti as a nephew, he was also within her and everyone else. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, I am situated in everyone's heart, and only due to me one remembers, forgets, and is cognizant, etc. Through all the Vedas, I am to be known because I am the compiler of the Vedas and I am the teacher of the Vedanta. Queen Kunti affirms that the Lord, although both within and without all living beings, is still invisible. The Lord is, so to speak, a puzzle for the common man. Queen Kunti experienced personally that Lord Krishna was present before her, yet he entered within the womb of Uttara to save her embryo from the attack of Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. Kunti herself was puzzled about whether Sri Krishna is all-pervasive or localized. In fact, he is both, but he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. This checking curtain is called the Maya energy of the Supreme Lord, and it controls the limited vision of the rebellious soul. It is explained as follows. So the next verse will explain the Maya energy of the Lord. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Umlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vinamaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangur Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamham Vande Shri Guru Vinatarma. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So I'm feeling so fortunate that I have got an opportunity to speak a little bit about these very, very beautiful these prayers, or the first prayer of Queen Kunti. And as we know, some of you might know, and there are only 26 verses or 26 prayers which Queen Kunti has said. So, and they were actually, Prabhupada spoke extensively on them. I think it was 1973 in Vrindavan he spoke, and then all of those Prabhupada's classes, they are compiled in this book, Teachings of Queen Kunti. So I thought it would be very apt to kind of give a little introduction to the verses, just like a little synopsis. So I'll read from the introduction to this book, the back dust jacket, as well as a little bit of the introduction. So here it says, so this book was published in 1978. Queen Kunti, a tragic and heroic figure, emerges from an explosive era in the history of ancient India. She was a central figure in a complex political drama that led to a bloody, fratricidal war for the Indian throne, of course, Mahabharata. Yet through all her sufferings, she found an inner wisdom and strength that carried her people through the time of crisis. Queen Kunti's teachings are the simple and illuminating outpourings of the soul of a great and saintly woman, revealing the deepest transcendental emotions of the heart and the deepest philosophical and theological penetrations of the intellect. How beautiful. Outpourings of the soul of a great and saintly woman. And she's actually telling that I am just a woman, I'm just a foolish woman. She's actually so humble, she's taking the position that I don't know anything. So reading from the introduction, Kunti, as we know, she was Krishna's aunt, Pishima. And yet, despite this conventional tie with the Lord, she fully understood his exalted and divine identity. She knew full well that he had descended from his abode in the spiritual world to rid the earth of demoniac military powers and re-establish righteousness. Just before the great war, Krishna had revealed all this to her son in words immortalized in the Bhagavad Gita. So we know, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. As Kunti approached the Lord's chariot and began to address him, her immediate purpose was to persuade him to remain in Hastinapur and protect the Pandava government from reprisals. So as we know, Yudhishthira has been installed on the throne and Krishna is leaving. He's about to leave for Dwarka because, you know, he has been there for, I'm guessing, many months, because he was there to kind of try to prevent the war from happening. He was ambassador for the Pandavas going into the Kuru assembly. And so he was there for a long time, and so he was ready to leave. But Kunti is saying, please, there is, I'll read the verse. This is verse 37, in which she says, "Oh my Lord, are you leaving us today? Though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us." From this supplication, we should not mistakenly conclude that Kunti's prayers were self-serving. Although her sufferings were far greater than those any ordinary person could endure, she does not beg relief. On the contrary, she prays to suffer even more. And that's a very famous verse in which she says, "I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths." And actually, each and every devotee, each and every person who's aspiring to take Krishna's shelter could take this mood that whatever calamities come, I just want to see Krishna in that situation. Whether it is a beautiful event happening in my life or very, very rough, I want to just be able to see Krishna in my life. And another one is her words are words of glorification impelled by a divine love steeped in wisdom. And for this, they have quoted the verse on the Ganga, "O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else." So one pointed attraction only for Krishna. Kunti's spontaneous glorification of Lord Krishna and her description of the spiritual path are immortalized in the Mahabharata and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they have been recited, chanted, and sung by sages and philosophers for thousands of years. And then the very end, this book offers the reader a deeper look into what it means to live immersed in spiritual life and opens a window into the thoughts and experiences of Queen Kunti and Srila Prabhupada, two elevated practitioners of the yoga of devotional mysticism. I thought it was so sweet that I wanted to share and set a little stage for these prayers. So I'm imagining it will be 26 days that we'll be hearing these a class on Srimati Kunti Devi's prayers. So on to today's verse. Each word is actually very significant in this verse. And I'm going to focus on seven of those words or terms. So, Namasye, which is bowing down, Purusham, Adhyam, Ishwaram, Prakrite Param, Alakshyam, and Antabahi. So, actually, this is such a powerful verse. And actually, Srila Prabhupada said that everything one needs to become Krishna conscious is in the first canto. Everything we have. And to become fully Krishna conscious is in the first canto. And this verse is like power packed. Most of the philosophy is like condensed into this verse. And somewhere I was listening to that some devotee was saying, I'm not sure, I think I was listening to a class from Vrindavan, that they were saying that Srila Prabhupada, when he first came, the Bhagavatam, the first canto was already translated and commentary was already done on it. And this was distributed. And Srila Prabhupada, after a few years, was kind of in some kind of anxiety that he might not be able to translate all nine cantos before he might have to leave this material world. So he started doing the 10th canto or the Krishna book. And we actually see how the devotees became qualified to accept that Krishna book, even though they had not gone through all the nine cantos, because the first canto Prabhupada has put so much in the first canto, and each of the, like today's purport was so long and so, like, you know, philosophical. Prabhupada really has put so much of his realizations, all his realizations are, every verse of the first canto is so amazing. Srila Prabhupada has really wanted to make sure that anybody who reads the first canto can actually experience, can go to the love of Godhead stage. So Kunti, as it was said in the purport, she is Krishna's aunt, and she should actually be, Krishna should be coming to her and offering her obeisances, because this is what a Vedic way is. When an elder person comes, or you are leaving, because he was taking leave, he was actually coming to offer her respects. But Kunti, on the other hand, is actually offering her obeisances to Krishna. And she, so he comes, looks like he's an ordinary human being, but she knew that he's come here to establish the principles of religion. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam. So she knew that Krishna is actually coming to establish that. She knew Krishna is not an ordinary human being. And from the Isopanishad, we have this verse, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, that whatever you see, wherever you see, everything is Krishna's property. So she knew that everything belongs to Krishna. So, you know, like sometimes the owner of the property might go and say, let me check out my property, you know, how's it doing? Is everybody taking care of things properly? So the owner might go and check out the property. So Krishna is coming to this material world. Of course, during the process, he also kills the demons, but most importantly, he gives great joy to the devotees. So in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 29, Krishna says, Bhoktaram yaga tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Sarva loka means all of the lokas, all of the planets. I am the Maheshwara. The Ishwara, not the Ishwara, the Maheshwara, the supreme Ishwara. And in the material world, that's our disease, as we can say. We think, this is my land, this is my property, no one should trespass on this property. Or there's a lot of fighting going on. Huh? People are fighting for land. And ultimately, people will fight, they will die, the land still remains. Because the land belongs to Krishna. It doesn't belong to you or me. And like great fighters or great emperors have done that. Alexander went all the way from Greece, almost he entered India actually. He was conquering and maybe spread Greek culture in different places. But ultimately, he was taken away. It's not his land. Or even like, I know my parents, they bought a house in Delhi, or they bought some land, and they got a 99-year lease on it. So after 99 years, it goes back to the government. It belongs to the government. Or maybe even on our temple property, there are some devotees who came in the early 70s, and they were actually really, you know, supporting the temple. They were the ones who actually started this poor farm community. And some of them had long leases, 99-year lease. I know some of these couple of them have 99-year lease. After that, what happens is it goes back to the temple. And of course, then it's because it belongs to Krishna. We cannot take anything with us. And that is being emphasized, that everything belongs to Krishna, sarva loka maheshwaram, and he is bhoktaram. He is the enjoyer. He is the enjoyer, he's the proprietor of all the planets. So Kunti, she knew it, that her sons, all of those millions and millions of people who fought in the battle of Kurukshetra, she understood that Krishna is the supreme proprietor. So she's offering her prayers. Namasye Purusham Tva. Tva means you. You are Purusham. And what's the meaning of Purusham? Shyamadarshan, do you know what's the meaning of Purusham?
Highest being.
Yeah, Krishna is the supreme person, that he's the highest being. And that's why she's offering her respect to Krishna. Not because, like Srila Prabhupada says, she's such an enlightened lady, could not commit a mistake by offering obeisances to her nephew. Actually, if that was being done, I know in my family, if we do something to our elders, like, you know, or if an elder is trying to do something for you, which is, oh my God, you know, you will make me go to hell if you come and touch my feet. Or, you know, we say things like that. Please don't glorify me because you are my elder. You cannot do that. But Krishna, but Kunti Devi understood that, and Krishna also accepted that. Because he could see that she's his pure devotee. And I offer my obeisances unto you. And why? Purushattva. You are the Supreme Person, therefore I must offer my respects to you. And then, talking about Prakriti, because Prakriti is mentioned in this verse, Prakriti Param. We are all Prakritis. We need to understand we are Prakritis. We are meant to be enjoyed. And Prakriti is always predominating. And who is the predominator? Krishna is the predominator. So we need to, when we actually take to Krishna consciousness or take to God consciousness, we agree to surrender to Krishna. We surrender to Krishna, then the Prakriti will be happy. Otherwise, we are always in anxiety, always, you know, looking to see how I can make my own, like how I can enjoy myself, how I can, you know, people around me, how they can make, or we try to think how we can make everything permanent. We're making time to make a permanent situation in a temporary world. So in the next one, she says is, Namaste Purusham Tva Adhyam. Adhyam means the original person. So like in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Adi. So Anadi Adi means one who has no beginning. He is the beginning of everything. Because in the material world we know where there's always a beginning and there's an end to whatever we do. But Krishna is without beginning. We know Lord Brahma comes from the lotus, from his navel on a lotus star. And then Brahma, he has got the, what are those called? The ones, all of the sages who came from Lord Brahma. And then they create prajapatis. All the prajapatis created all the praja and the demigods. And then, so Brahma is actually called the grandfather of all the beings. So Krishna is the great grandfather. Krishna is the great grandfather of all of them. So he's Adhyam. He is the original. He has no beginning. So the idea is that Krishna is original, and Arjuna actually also admits it in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, what I was seeing was that every word of this verse which Kunti is saying, Arjuna is actually, Krishna is actually said to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. So I was just thinking, Kunti was of course not on the battlefield, and she was of course not able to hear like Sanjay was reciting it to Dhritarashtra. But I wonder if Arjuna could tell her later on, no? Because he was on the battlefield the whole 18 days. Maybe in the evening he told her. But every word is supported by a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna says, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shvaswatam Adhyam. He says, you are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyas proclaim this of you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. And this is chapter 10, verse 12 of the Bhagavad Gita. So, Prabhupada would say that very, very few people on the planet actually knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kunti knows, and then as we see the sages, and then the Pandavas, and Vidura, and maybe Dhritarashtra, I'm not sure if Dhritarashtra completely knew if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even though Krishna, when he came to the Kuru assembly, he actually was so brilliant, but the Kauravas, or the people in the assembly, didn't really care. They didn't really think that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And see, despite seeing all that, Duryodhan still said, I want the hundreds and thousands of Krishna soldiers instead of asking for Krishna when the battle was about to be started. So, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatata siddhaye. Very, very, amongst thousands, millions and millions of people, one might be very fortunate to know who is Krishna, and out of those, hardly one, Krishna says, hardly one knows me in truth. So, Namaste Purusham Tva Adhyam. What kind of Adhyam? Ishwaram. So he's Ishwaram, he is the controller. Adhyam Ishwaram means the original controller. So he's the original controller, and which Kunti Devi says, and again supported by a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. That I am the the Maya. So the material energy is working under my direction, and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So Krishna's proclamation, Kunti Devi is actually, her statement is being supported by what Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says in his instructions to Arjuna. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, it is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all the activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will and the background of this material manifestation, but the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also states that all the living beings, all the living entities in the different forms and species, he says, I am the seed-giving father for all of them. So in that sense, he is the supreme original controller. So she's saying, Kunti Devi is saying directly, you are Adhyam Purusham and Ishwaram. You are not an ordinary person. You are the supreme controller. Ishwara Parma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. So we have experience about controlling ourselves, right? Supposing I must say, I'm controlling the book room, you know. I place the orders and who comes and gets the books, kind of a little controller. And the businessman thinks I'm the controller of my business, and he might become a millionaire, a billionaire like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates. But then what happens, there is regulations. The government imposes regulations on the businesses. So the government can actually shut down a business in a jiffy. Because if they say you're not following all the rules and regulations, shut down. Who controls the government? Maybe the people, because they elect the democracy, in democracy, they elect them. So everyone thinks I'm the controller. We have little something to control. But Krishna Prabhupada actually would say we are little Ishwaras of our own little, you know, little surroundings. Or he would say people have nothing to control. They will buy a dog. They'll get a dog and control the dog. Yeah? Or of course you want to serve. That's another thing. The mood is to serve. You don't realize it. You think, oh, I need somebody who will be listening to me. So the controlling propensity is there everywhere, but the original controller is Krishna. That's what we need to understand very much, very much, very, very important. Namaste Purusham Tvadhyam Ishwaram. So in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the Vedas, therefore, Krishna is described as the chief among all living entities, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. So I thought I'll spend a few moments on this verse because it is actually mentioned many times by Srila Prabhupada. It's not in the Bhagavad Gita, it's not in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is from Katha Upanishad. So if you know this verse, you can say along with Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Vidadati Kaman Tamatmastam Yenupashyanti Dhiras Tesham Shanti Shashvati Nitarisham. So Eka Bahunam. There is Eka, that's one Krishna, and Bahu is we are many, the living entities. So we are also Chetan, we are also Chetan, and we are also eternal. Chetan means we are also conscious, and we are also eternal, and so is Krishna. But we are so far, so I'm just going to read from the purport. This is purport to Bhagavad Gita 2.12. So far the living entity symptoms and the eternity is concerned, both the living entities and God, Krishna, they are one. But the difference is, Eko Bahunam Vidadati Kaman. That one, that chief one, although he is eternal and living force as we are, but he is the chief. He maintains all of them. That is the version. That is the version from Katha Upanishad. Nityo Nityanam. He is the supreme eternal amongst all eternals. Chetanas Chetananam. He is the supreme living force amongst all other living forces. Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. That singular number, Eka, he is providing, maintaining all other living entities. And Atma Stham, he is in everyone's heart. So anyone who can perceive his presence like that is considered to be Dhira, very highly learned or very gentle. So the adhira is a person who is not disturbed. They are situated in, like you can say, they are situated in samadhi. Adhira means those who are always disturbed. So those who are in the material world, in the material consciousness, they are adhira, and those who are in the spiritual platform, they are dhira. So when we actually imbibe the mood of this verse, nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, we actually can become dhiras. We can become dhiras and then actually be eligible to go back to Godhead. Adhyam Ishwaram, and then the next one she says, Prakriti Param, beyond this material nature. Prakriti means material manifestation or cosmic manifestation. Krishna is beyond the cosmic manifestation. And then Srila Prabhupada always would say that Krishna is not material. Krishna, but people think, oh, he comes as a human being. So they don't really see his true nature. They think Krishna is like us. So he would say they are mudas, the rascals. The rascals think Krishna is like us, Krishna has a body like us. But that is not a fact. And here Kunti Devi is saying, she's our authority. We actually have to accept she's the authority. And she says, Prakriti Priyam, or Prakriti Param. And the next term is Alakshyam. Alakshyam means invisible. So Krishna is invisible. He is not visible to everybody. And actually only when we have our eyes have been what anointed with the Shastra Chakshu. We actually have the Shastra and we are seeing with the eyes of the Shastra. Then we can see Krishna will become visible. And actually in the purport, Srila Prabhupada does say that. He says at the end, he says, he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. Because you know, people would say, would ask Srila Prabhupada, do you see Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? And he says, Krishna is right here. Yes, I've seen Krishna. And in that sense, we can see Krishna. He's appeared in the deity form. And there was another point which I want to make, that Srila Prabhupada would say many times, like the post office, you know, the post office puts up little mailboxes in different parts of the state or city or town. And in India, in villages, you know, the post office is, sometimes people have to walk 3 or 4 days to get to a post office. So they would put like a little mailbox which was red in color. And the post office actually comes to them. The post offices come to them, they can put a letter in there, in a little red mailbox, maybe it is hanging on a tree, or maybe it's hanging in the village square. And you put that letter, a letter in there, and it has got the ability to go thousands of miles. It might go all the way to the US. And it has been mailed from a little village in India. So the post office actually comes to the little village. So that way Krishna, in the deity form, actually comes, and so we can see Krishna, and he actually is invested. His potency is in the deity. And like Tamohar Prabhu was telling in the class on Balaram's appearance day, that when the installation of Krishna Balaram happened, of the beautiful ceremony which happened, and the Krishna and Balaram were invited to come into the deity form, and he says when the eyes were opened, all the devotees could feel the presence of Krishna and Balaram. They actually came, they are actually here. So the Lord agrees to come and be visible to us in his Archa Vigraha form. Not if you have material vision, we would think, oh, this is a doll. And we're just doing a play thing, you know, we're making little plates and offering little food. Like, you know, when my daughter was little, we would have little parties, you know. She had a little stove, little cups and plates, and we would like have a little game going on. Okay, you drink this tea, you drink this, you know, she would make prasad, she would do the offering and everything. But it was all pretend. It is not pretend. Krishna is here in his Archa Vigraha form. And we can serve the Supreme Lord in this form. And he actually comes because, you know, there is an understanding that Krishna is he's the universal form, is there. Krishna is in the universal form. But can we make an outfit for Krishna in the universal form? Krishna actually is so kind, he agrees to come in this form so we can engage ourselves. How many devotees every morning? We have like maybe at least 15 to 20 devotees who are involved in getting all of this together for us. Somebody's bathing, somebody's actually, and for sometimes 1 or 2 days, sometimes 3 days ahead of time, they're collecting the flowers, making the garlands, selecting the paraphernalia for the outfit. So all that, a lot of, we can actually engage ourselves in that service Krishna gives us. Even though he's invisible, he becomes visible. Not alakshyam, he is visible to us. So we can offer him food, flower, water, and in that way Krishna becomes visible. And at this point which I want to just make, that Srila Prabhupada would say things like, in particular one purport he talked about, so we will say we are Krishna's part and parcels, right? We have heard this so many times, Krishna's part and parcel. But actually we do not see each other. I'm seeing you, I'm seeing Mother Moolaka. Am I seeing Krishna's expansion in there, in her heart? For the most part, no. I'm just seeing, oh, that is Mother Moolaka, that is Mother Madhumati, Sheshaya Prabhu, we just see. You cannot, when somebody leaves their body, we start crying, and we say, but that's the same body you were seeing before. So, if you cannot, Prabhupada said very specifically, if you cannot see the particle of Krishna, the soul, how can you see Krishna? So, in Nectar of Devotion, it says, Atha Shri Krishna Nama Bhi Na Bhavet Griham Indriya. The blunt material eyes cannot see Krishna, cannot hear Krishna's name, form, quality or pastimes. They cannot be understood by your material, blunt eyes or senses. But if they are purified, Sevan Mukhehi Jivado, if they are purified by the process of devotional service, which all of you are doing and all of the people who are listening on the internet, I know you all are doing this devotional service and getting purified. All of our senses are being purified, then we can see Krishna at all time and everywhere. That is the goal. That is the process of seeing. Bhakti is the process. Bhakti amam abhijanati. That's the process for seeing Krishna. But for ordinary person, alakshyam, not visible. So, sarva bhutanam, he's inside and outside. Like the Prabhupada said in the purport, Kunti Devi was saying, he entered the womb of my granddaughter-in-law, Uttara. He entered the womb, he became so small, he's inside and he's outside. She's puzzled, is he in, is he out? But he's, as we know, he's localized, he can be all pervasive. So, anta bahir. So, this Krishna consciousness movement, we can understand, it is here to open the eyes for everyone, how to see Krishna. And Prabhupada says, if you can see Krishna in that way, then your life is perfect, your life is successful. So we need to see that. We are so fortunate, we have come into this Krishna consciousness movement, and our job, our service to Srila Prabhupada is to open the eyes of others. Make Krishna visible to others in whatever small way we can. We all are actually instruments of Srila Prabhupada. And so 24 hours of the day, we can see Krishna. And then all our tapasyas, actually, we don't need to do any tapasya in that sense. We need to just namadi, chant Hare Krishna, do service as much as we can, and follow the four regulative principles, of course, and avoid the sinful activities, engage in service, then Krishna is present. And then we will be able to talk to Krishna, just like Kunti Devi is talking to Krishna. She is saying, Namaste Purusham Thvadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. We can glorify Krishna. We can glorify Krishna. We can, and when we actually distributing books or we are preaching, doesn't mean you have to go out and stand by the, you know, at the intersection of 441 and University Avenue. We can be preaching wherever we are at. Even now, even in this pandemic, somebody comes to our door. I remember many weeks ago, we have a pest control person who comes around, and he was out and about, and I said, please come in because we think we have some pests here. He came and he saw the deities. He actually didn't wear his shoes, of course. And he would always say, I have many Hare Krishnas, you know, I've seen. I go to their homes. So he entered, he saw the deities, and he was like, who are they? Is this Buddha? And so a little chance to tell him about who they were. And he took two books actually. He was so happy. And I gave him an invitation card to come to the temple. I said, when it opens up, please come. He said, yeah, I pass by all the time. So wherever we are at, whatever the situation is, we can actually give Krishna consciousness. And our Sankirtan devotee, Mother Nandini Kishori, she's distributing online. This last week, she took 5 Bhagavatam sets to mail to people because she's calling them. And she's just like, okay, go to this site, order the books, and she's just getting the books and sending it to them. So yes, we can make other people's life happy. We can make their human birth successful. In fact, we can even make the birth of birds and bees and lizards, which I think I was telling in one of my classes. We see them, we chant Hare Krishna to them, we offer our obeisances to them because Krishna is present in their heart. We're offering obeisances to them. And in that way, we can see Krishna 24 hours. So I'll stop at this moment. And if you all have any questions or comments, you can, of course, the devotees who are here can ask, or you can put in the chat box and you can hear from you. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Does anybody have any questions? I'll just read the verse again. What are you thinking? Namase purusham padyam ishwaram prakrite param alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahir avasthitam. Srimati Kunti Devi said, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Prabhu, anything on the chat?
A question.
Granthashimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.